Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo. Chris Aceto. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out, throw!
Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by VPX. Visit VPXSports.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician Aceto. It is June 27th, 2011. And, Chris, we are approaching the July 4th weekend. I can't believe it. Finally, a weekend off.
For me. What's it? One? How many are you getting off a year? One, two?
Two, three, four, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You're all over the place.
Yeah, well, Tampa was this past weekend. The IFBB Tampa PBW Championships, run by Tim Gardner and supported by Dan Solomon of Pro Body Milling Weekly Radio Show. And, once again, it was a phenomenal show, phenomenally run show, I should say. You know, Tim Gardner really puts on a high quality event, very VIP-ish in nature. He's got a beautiful buffet backstage. He treats everyone, he makes everyone feel like stars there. And I got to tell you, unfortunately, I don't think that the show has gotten the accolades locally or the support locally that it really deserves yet. And I don't think enough sponsors have really jumped on board to support this thing. But he really puts on a very, very fine show over there.
He puts on an unbelievable show. I think I was there. I saw you there like 2 years ago when they gave Gasparri like the big award. And, you know, the turnout was decent, but I was sitting there, you know, spoke to Gasparri on the weekend that when he got the award. And we were both saying the same thing is that the venue is, I mean, you can't get a better venue.
You can hold the Olympia there. It's huge.
You could have the Olympia there. And the way he treats the athletes, men, women, the way he treats the press, everything, you know, he's a really respected guy, and he puts on a more than respectable show. And you're right, it doesn't have the maybe because it hasn't been around long enough, it doesn't have the hype that it really deserves. Because one, you get a lot of competitors in the show, and they two, usually they're really in really good shape.
Yeah,
but it just, you know, it doesn't have the oomph of, like, you know, New York Pro. I say it, and it's almost like it conjures up sold out. You know what I mean? Whereas Tampa, it's like, has this idea of, well, it's kind of like, you know, the cousin to the New York Pro. It's not quite the New York Pro, which may be because, you know, Weinberger's been promoting the New York Pro forever, but or, you know, for a long time, and the Tampa's more of a new, really, you know, it should, if he continues, it's going to blossom into a championship type show.
You know, New York is the Big Apple. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. So, you know, it's always more glamorous to compete in New York. And I think that's, you know, you're competing against that. Steve will never have a problem putting that show on, you know, and getting people to show up. That's for sure. He does a good job. And when you put passion behind anything you do, it's going to succeed. So just, you know, like I said, I told him, I said, suck it up another year or two. I said, you're going to be huge sooner or later. And I think the consistency is what's important. People want to see the show every year. They don't want to see that you do it 1 year, you don't do it another year, it disappears. He's embedded in that community there in Tampa. And I think the show will continue for many years to come. I have to ask you a question. Are you sanding your boat over there or something like that?
Am I what?
Are you sanding your boat?
No, I'm not. Why, are you getting the background on?
I hear some, like, scratchy noises. Either your dog is scratching his balls.
No. Maybe I'm flicking my pen.
Yeah, you like to play with the pen. You get a little bit nervous.
I do. One time he almost came through the phone on me. He said, you thought I was typing, and I was clicking the pen, and you said, would you stop typing?
That's right.
Be a little bit more aggressive than that.
That's,
I think,
right.
Your blood sugar level was low. Either that,
it might,
you travel 25 weekends out of the year.
It might be.
How's that? Does it sound like I'm not standing anymore?
I don't think, I think the sanding has stopped. You know, it might be good.
Okay. Got it.
I think so.
We're safe.
I'm not sure exactly. I'll let you know if I hear any more sanding noises.
Okay, let me know.
Anyway, we had the IFBB Tampa Pro and the Tim Gardner NPC show this past weekend, and we predicted last week that there would be the crowning of a new champion. And so there was someone we never even expected off the radar. Once again, we call it the proverbial dark horse, Marius Doné from South Africa. Someone who I know very well. I worked with him as an amateur until he turned pro. He's got that freaky shape, small waist, flary quads, almost the Bob Ciccarillo quads, if you think about it.
Yeah, you're exactly they got that big outer hump on them, right?
Yeah, he always has a very good level of conditioning, Marius, so he doesn't get out of shape during the year. Last year at the New York Pro for his pro debut, he actually had diarrhea for like 2 days before the show, so he really wasn't at his best, and he still made an impression in people's minds. He comes in here real tight, looking like a little bigger than he was the previous year. And I have to say that he was the most polished competitor on stage by far. He gets straight ones, and he wins his first pro show.
How was polished come to you?
Polished means that when you look at him, his tan is perfect, his oil is perfect, his conditioning is dry. Polished in the sense that he looked like a professional up there. Some of these guys have been competing for 10 years, and they still can't get their tan right. They don't come out with oil on. Their presentation is not good. And it shows. He looked professional up there, despite the fact that obviously he still has to put more mass on to stand with some of the top guys of the sport. Lonnie Tieper emailed me and wanted to know if he was going to be top 10 at the Olympia, and I would say he's ready to do that, but he definitely structurally can stand with these guys. I think he's just going to need more mass. But it comes down to, Chris, you and I have talked about this a lot, you kind of got to judge what's up there, and of the group that was up there, he was the best.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, from what I saw, you know, I agree with you. That's why I asked you what the polish mean. I wanted to hear the word structure because, you know, is he massive? No. You know, does his back need more thickness? You know, arms need to be bigger. Yeah, he's kind of got that, you know, the big V. No, not kind of got. He's got a big V taper with a small, definitely has a small waist with the Ciccarillo, you know, big sweep quads, like you said. And, you know, if he's polished, if he's in good condition, that beats, you know, I mean, that automatically almost in that type of lineup puts you in the first call. So, I think Lonnie Tieper's, you know, may have had a little bit of extra Kool-Aid if he thinks he's going to come in and crack the top 10.
Well, you know, it's hard to tell from pictures sometimes, you know, and everyone's talking hype on this guy, but, you know, he can't stand next to like a Phil Heath. He can't stand. I don't even think he could stand next to a Johnny Jackson at this point in shape. So, but he's got the makings of a potentially very good bodybuilder. And if he puts the necessary mass on, you know what always separates the top tier bodybuilders from the second tier? A back. When the guys at the top always have that nasty, gnarly, thick back, that they love that look, that really sets apart the top Olympia guys from the next group, in my estimation, at least.
Yeah, well, is that something he needs to bring up?
Yeah, I think he needs more size, more width.
Yeah, more I think mass. That's why I said, you know, does he need? You know, I asked the question: does he need more back? Yes. Does he need more? You know, more arm thickness? You know, yes, or size. So you're right. I mean, if you run it, you know, we shouldn't be comparing them in the top 10 of Olympia right now. But if you run a, you know, Dexter's, you know, best back double, Johnny Jackson's best back double, Jay Dexter, I mean, those are backs.
Right.
So that's not to say the guy's not got a great future. And to me, you know, he reminds me of like the Wolf type. You know what I mean? When
yeah.
you get all excited about the shape. And, you know, because the shape can carry you, you know, it can carry you, it's the illusion. It can carry you far. Obviously, it carried him in right into first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that coupled with his condition.
You know, probably the disappointment of the show. I actually am going to have Jim Raquel, who is the head judge, on a little later tonight to talk about how the show is judged, because there were some close decisions here. I want you and I kind of just to talk about various competitors as opposed to breaking down everything that happened in the show, because you weren't there anyway. But Jason Ha was a disappointment. I talked him backstage with Hani, and he finishes in seventh here. No one had more muscle. He's got Olympia level muscle on his body. And this kid is just preoccupied with size, and I don't know why he's having a trouble getting his conditioning tuned in. But I will say, just from personal experience, because I did work with him for a little while, he does have trouble getting that really hot, dry, hard look. And sometimes you almost have to sacrifice muscle on him to do it. In your estimation, given the enormous amount of muscle he has now, is it worth it to possibly sacrifice a little muscle to get him gnarly, grainy hard.
Yes, it is. I mean, with last weekend, if people weren't listening last weekend, we talked about, or maybe the weekend before, about Jason Hunt. And I think you had mentioned that he was going to do the show, and you asked me, you know, good decision, and I said, well, you know, if he does great, it will be a good decision, but I'll say right now it's a bad decision because, it's easy on paper to come off like his disappointing placing at the New York Pro and say, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and, you know, quote, be in great shape for the next show. You know, I'm sure, he's probably everybody at his ear telling him, you just got to do this, just got to do this, just, you know, do this, and you'll be ready for the Tampa. And it didn't happen. So, one, I think he probably needs to regroup, you know, and mentally regroup after these two big disappointments. But so he has a huge amount of size. I mean, in the pictures, he made some of the guys look like kids.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how he really won the Nationals, too.
USA.
Keep in mind, you know, his condition was nothing. I mean, if you say the word condition, his name does not pop to those. But what won it for him is, you know, he had good shape and a lot of muscle. And I think for the judges at, like, the Nationals, it came down to, okay, we're going to give him first or we're not going to give him first. How do you not give him first based on these, you know, just the total amount of mass that he's carrying? But obviously, at a show like this, it's different competitors, different level polish, as you said. And, you know, he gets lost, even though he has all the tools.
Well, sometimes, and just for clarification, Jason won the USA Championships last year. But
USA, sorry about that.
I think it's important to mention this, that, I'm gonna ask this to Jim Raquel as well. These guys sometimes, when they hit the pro ranks, or sometimes when they win for the wrong reasons, you know, Jason won the USA, but he wasn't the most conditioned that he could have been. We know he could have been tighter. And because of that, maybe he felt that level of conditioning was acceptable. Now he's finding out that it's not, obviously. On a pro stage, you and I both know that conditioning, given the fact that you have enough muscle and obviously your symmetry is good, conditioning usually is what wins shows. And that's really what won this show for Marius. Hita Tada really blew a chance here to win another pro show, because had he brought his best conditioning in that we've seen in the past, I think he could have won the show. He would have beat Marius probably, because his presentation is so good.
Yeah, I've just seen him better. You know, I think even, it's funny, even though he was not at his best, he still barely cracked the top 10 at the Olympia, which isn't, you know, or he was, what were you, 9th, 10th last year?
Yeah, something like that.
And quote, he wasn't, you know, people said he wasn't in shape, but I think he had more density last year. I think he's lost some to the upper back.
He looked smaller to me, yes, he did.
Yeah, he looked smaller. He looked like he was, overtrained a little bit for the show. He didn't have the big, you know, usually at least when he has a crunch shot, you know, you sit up in your chair and say, wow, there's a lot of muscle there on the crunch shot. But even that looked like a little bit, I wouldn't say shallow, but it didn't look thick like it normally does for him. And I could really see in the back shots, you know, usually his three-quarter back is thicker. So he looked like he was a little bit, down in size. Not much, but down enough where you could notice it. And I agree with you. You're right. At his best, he could have won the show.
Someone told me that he was, they saw him out in Venice Golds about 6 weeks ago, and they didn't even know he was doing the show. Who told me that? Someone who was competing with him said to me that they said to him, Doug Dale, in the interview that he had, he saw Hita Tada out there, and he asked him what show he's doing, and he's like, oh, I'm doing Tampa. He's like, so am I. And meanwhile, like, Doug Dale was already in shape, and so Hita Tada had a lot to lose. So maybe he had a crash diet, and, you know, what happens when you do that. You never really quite get where you need to be, and you wind up a little flatter than you probably, you know, want to be. So Hita Tada, I think, really got kind of a gift in this fact that they gave him second place, because this was not the best version of him that we've seen. Personally, I would have liked to seen Doug Dale up there a lot higher. I mean, in fourth place, he really looked good. I got to tell you, the guy was the best I've seen him. Yeah, he's a little narrow shouldered, but who cares? He's got classic physique. He's got, his conditioning was ridiculous, And he probably was, you know, Frank McGrath, who finished in third, was as conditioned as Doug Dale. I thought Doug Dale had better symmetry than McGrath, but I'm happy to see McGrath place third and qualify for that Olympia. This was a guy who a year and a half ago almost was dead in a car accident. He lost his spleen. He had some skin grafts, and they told him he'd never bodybuild again. So that's got to be the comeback story of the show.
Yeah. No, he looked great. He was, he needs more mass. That's the only, dig against him. But Doug Dale, I thought, was, one, hats off to him, because he's the guy who didn't do well. I remember doing the wrap-up for the 202 in Detroit, maybe it was a year ago, and he wasn't at his best. And it was just one of those things where, he had a bad outing and didn't come in the way he can come in. But he looked so amazing in the 202 class that had he been in even remotely close to his best, he would have smoked that show. And I think in that wrap-up, I said, he's dangerous in any, show against a lot of people. And I'm not talking 202 class, because he's got awesome, his most muscular, fabulous. His back double's really, really good. His quads are, as you know, inside chest or off the chart.
Yeah.
And what's the highest you would have had him had you been judging?
I didn't have a problem with them being top three. I know that the judges don't agree with this, but personally, I wouldn't have had Hita Tata in the top three. I know he's a good poser. I know he's got some classic, way of displaying his physique, but I don't think you should be rewarding someone who wasn't at his best. And he not only was he a little smooth from the glute hamstring area, but he was a little downsized too. So I thought he really did maybe get a little bit of a gift there. I probably would have had maybe Doug Dale and McGrath vying for second and third. I didn't have a problem with Haley either. Haley got better at night. Haley's problem was, and I know he was upset with his fifth place finish, was that he placed second in Orlando in a lineup that wasn't that great. He probably didn't deserve second there. Conditioning was off. Even he admitted his conditioning was off. So he figures he comes into this show a lot tighter than he was in Orlando, and I can guarantee that. He figures he's going to do some damage, maybe win. And then he comes in fifth. So that was a disappointment for him. Where you put him, I'm not sure in this lineup. I liked him. I actually had him second after prejudging just because of his size. And the judges didn't think that. I would have probably had him second and maybe Doug Dale third. I wouldn't have had a problem with McGrath or Doug Dale going either way with third there and fourth. And I would have had Hita Tata probably in fifth place, just from my perspective.
That's funny. That's essentially where I had him. I'm a big Doug Dale fan when he's in shape, because when he gets in shape, his best shape, I wasn't there, but I know it doesn't show up in pictures, so you were there. He's got a gnarly, dense, his muscularity says, I've been training heavy and been doing it for a long time. That's the type of condition he gets in when he's in good condition. So, when I looked at the pictures, I thought, okay, where's high beat Doug Dale? And I used that comparison versus, let's say, McGrath, simply because structurally or height-wise, they're essentially more or less the same, right?
Yeah, no, yeah.
So, but getting to Haley, I agree with your assessment, and I think, he has brought different levels. The thing with Marcus is he's got, different levels of condition. He's got the Orlando, which is good, good condition, could be tighter, but he can still crack the top five, and then he's got this condition, which is better. Then he's got his Olympia condition, which was, I think, his all-time best. And then he's got one, either the Orlando or the Tampa, the Tampa of last year where he was second, which is stellar condition. So in terms of condition, his best, I think, has been the Olympia last year, which, regardless, not a dig against Marcus, but, it's hard to crack, say, top eight in any type of condition in that show for anyone. And then he's got the Tampa from last year, and this condition is just not quite focused. So I don't know. Maybe the judges end up comparing him to what he's been, or see his quite a structural flaws. Maybe he could use more upper pecs. Shoulders kind of disorder.
Yeah, you know what? The only inconsistency was you can't put Hita Tata up there if you're gonna put Mark down Haley for less conditioning than he should have.
Yeah, no, true. I agree.
That's where the inconsistency goes. So if you want to take Hita Tata and put him, you know, down at fifth, and you want to move McGrath, Dugdale, and Haley up, I'm okay with that. If you're going to put Hita Tata up there, then you might as well throw Haley up there too and say, all right, well, you're not at your best, but you're still better than you were in Orlando, and you know, you're a good poser and your presentation is good. So it could go either way. It was a tough decision because after Marius, everyone had a little bit of problems. You know, no one was perfect. So
it'd be interesting to see what Raquel has to say, because sometimes, you know, I just see it how I see it, but it's interesting to see how, you know, somebody is looking at it through, obviously, you know, his own perspective, Caesar.
Sure. And Brandon Curry probably got the worst deal of the day. He placed his third in Toronto. Now, granted, the lineup is not as tough, but I think he should have been at least, he wasn't even compared with the top five. And that, I think that's a mistake, because the guy's got a great physique. Can he be a little tighter? Maybe. Does his legs need to come up a little bit? Yeah. But that upper body, that back double bicep is brutal. You know, I wanted to see him in that top group.
He's got I thought he was in, you know, good enough shape to be, he was in good condition, period.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Wasn't bad.
You know, it's the tightest I think he's been, or essentially, when's he been tighter than that?
Never. I think it was as good as last week when he placed third and qualified for the Olympia.
Or he's going to be dumbfounded. I don't know. Maybe they expect him to be. Maybe they just want to see him, like, you know, spit out nails when he hits a back double. That'd be hard enough.
Yeah, let's talk about the 202, which was really a two-man race between Al Agusti and Rixio Tapia. And after looking at the scorecards, which, you know, it's funny because after the show, I did a wrap-up with John Natashak. And Natashak and Singerman, they were both like, Al Agusti had the show easily. And I had to stop them and say, you know what, I really thought it was closer than I thought. Because after prejudging, I didn't really have Agusti definitively winning. I probably had him by a little bit. Turns out Rixio was winning after prejudging, and Agusti came back and won the night show, got a little tighter and drier. It was quite a battle. I wish you were there, because Agusti is very impressive, much better than when he turned pro. He's put on about 5 or 6 pounds of muscle, and this is a guy who could do some serious damage in this 202 class if he just brings his legs up a little bit more to match that upper body.
I know exactly what he looks like, because I'd never heard of him until, you know, I went to some show, one of the USA's and Nationals where he got, like, I think he was second a few years ago, and when he came on, his shape just jumps out at you, and he's got great muscularity, and I agree with you 100%. I think, look, the 202 is becoming so deep in terms of, you know, outstanding bodybuilders, and he is totally outstanding, and as outstanding as he is, I mean, the guy who got second was by the judges' scores after prejudge, and equally outstanding, actually more outstanding. He was in great condition.
I think that Al Agusti is a better bodybuilder.
Agreed.
Than Rixio, but Rixio had supreme.
What's that mean to you? Because I agree, but I want people who listen know what that means. I know exactly what it means, but you didn't really. What's better bodybuilder mean to you?
When you look at him on stage and you see him just moving and the muscle bellies and the shapes, he's just like very, very dominant. And if when he brings his legs up a little bit more, he's going to be very hard to beat. He's got almost like that Flex Wheeler-ish like physique.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
It's like beautiful to look at. Whereas Rixio is got great symmetry, small waist. His legs are better than Agusti, and that's why he probably was beating him after prejudging. But you could tell his physique is more just like hard, gnarly dieting and work, as opposed to Agusti's got those just natural flowing lines. You know, and Agusti in shape versus Rixio in shape, Agusti wins. Not because he might have more muscle or anything like that, just because of that natural beauty factor of his physique. That it just boils down to that, basically.
Yeah, when you have that shape, I always say, if you're judging, you know, a judge is looking up at the stage, and he can't decide. At the end of the day, usually, his eye floats one more time back to the guy with the natural shape. And, you know, he puts the one in his corner versus the guy who may be a little bit tighter, a little bit more gnarly looking. You know, your eye just continually goes back at the end to the guy with the natural shape. And in terms of Auguste's shape, he's got the type of physique where, you know, you see him in a hotel room. I mean, I know I would, because I know what he would look like, you know, just way bigger than 202. And say, you know, you've got no business being in the 202s, meaning you just, you know, you'd be competitive in the open class. Just like Dugdale, you know, but to go back to Dugdale, I mean, Dugdale just competed last couple of years in the 202s. How much did he weigh? 205 probably for the show, 206?
Dugdale?
I think it wasn't more than...
Yeah, Dugdale was, I think was more like 212, 210, yeah. He was bigger. That's, I mean, this 212 class is going to be great for these guys like Dugdale and for, what's his name? Al Auguste. It's to grow into, so. I don't know.
And then third in the 202 was also impressive.
Let me, what I wanted to say is just, you really could have done a coin flip, and I don't think anyone would have complained. There was the Rixio Tapia fans there was the Al Auguste fans. This was Al Auguste's hometown area. You know, he's from Orlando, so I think the right decision was made. Pierre Chamoun came in third. He qualifies for the Olympia as well. It turned out to be a better 202 than I expected. The women's bodybuilding was won by Kathy LeFrancois. Tina Chandler was second. Brigitte Brzezewek third. They're all qualified for the Olympia anyway. And the bikini was won by Diana Graham. And Natalie Muir was second from France. And Candice Graham third from the United States here. And she, all three of those will go to the Olympia in September. We're going to go to a commercial break, Chris. When we come back, we're going to do a little guru Q&A.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. You are hardcore. That's why VPX Redline Ultra Hardcore is scientifically formulated with a patented tri-action liquid and micro-tab delivery system designed to deliver hardcore fat-burning actives into the body in as little as 45 seconds and lasts for hours. This makes Redline Ultra Hardcore the fastest-acting, strongest-stacking, longest-lasting fat burner ever assembled. You are hardcore. That's why you need Redline Ultra Hardcore. Visit VPXSports.com today for a free sample of Ultra Hardcore. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
Isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old school hand grips and rigid pull down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com. Shaker Pro has designed the most innovative shaker in the fitness and bodybuilding world. Shaker Pro is the only shaker where the powder and liquid are stored separately and mixed together at the exact moment you desire. Mixing occurs in the closed Shaker Pro system. That means no more mess, just a perfect shake, guaranteed. Preparation takes place anytime, anywhere, in the car, at work, or in the locker room. No need to transport separate ingredients with you. The Shaker Pro is an all-in-one solution for everyone with an active lifestyle. The patented Shaker Pro chamber system guarantees that the mixing and blending of the ingredients will always produce a perfect shake every time. Simply twist, shake, and enjoy. Find out more about the Shaker Pro at 4sportlife.com. That's the number 4sportlife.com. From bikini to bodybuilding, CJ's Elite Custom Competition Suits is where the pros go. Founder and creator Cynthia James, known to the physique world as CJ, has been customizing suits for over 20 years with a unique combo of style, fit, and bling. CJ is the official suit creator for Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler, and being an IFBB Pro official and NPC judge, CJ knows what it takes to present the perfect package on stage. CJ personally manufactures every suit she creates using only the highest quality Austrian-made Swarovski first-cut crystals for an unmatched stage presence. With CJ's Elite Custom Suits, no two designs are ever alike. Check out all of CJ's suits at cynthia-james.com, where you'll also find her latest bikini division suit innovations. CJ's Elite Custom Suits are what the pros wear. Jay Cutler, Tanji Johnson, Ava Cowan, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Trish Warren, and many more all know that CJ's Elite is the only way to go when it comes to top quality and innovative suits that fit every time. What are you waiting for? Visit cynthia-james.com right now and check out the new Men's Physique Division creations as well. CJ's Elite Custom Suits. It's where the pros go.
Hydralyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydralyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydralyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydralyze Ultra today. Visit HydralyzeUltra.com. That's HydralyzeUltra.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Amp up your workout wardrobe with Physique Bodywear. Over 20 years of experience and over 300 styles to choose from and made in America. Visit PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com now and get fast shipping for all of your clothes. Tee tops, tank tops, posing suits, muscle shirts, workout pants and shorts, and so much more. And don't worry about size. We've got all you hardcore freaks fully covered. Affordable prices, fast delivery with same day shipping. And if you order now, make sure to mention RxMuscle.com. And save 10% off your first order. Call Physique Bodywear now at 845-473-4832 or order online at PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com. Physique Bodywear. We don't build champions, we dress them.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are are the Dark Divas. Gina Alioti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind, limited-edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here on the phone with Chris the Technician Aceto. He's down in sunny Florida enjoying himself. How come you're not up in Maine right now? The weather's beautiful up there, isn't it?
I know, it's ridiculously beautiful. But I had to come down here for a couple of things, and I thought, might as well stay. It's really hot, but, you know, I like it down here too, but I miss Maine. This is a great time to get to be in Maine, for sure. I mean, perfect weather in June, July, August, September.
Now, you're on the water there, aren't you?
In Florida, yeah, I'm right on the water.
That's got to be nice.
I can see Sarah Palin. I can see Fidel Castro's humidor from my room.
I can see my jet ski from my window sitting in my backyard in the water, but I have yet to use it. So,
of course, you don't have the time.
I don't have any time, exactly.
That's the big time.
I was thinking about ditching. I was thinking about ditching the radio show and just going out on it, but I figured, all the people listening are not going to be able to hear the show.
I know it.
I have this like complex about letting down the RX Muscle viewers.
Well, they would be because they email me when we didn't cover Q&A like 2 weeks ago, and I got people take the liberty to email me and well, since we didn't have Guru Q&A, I'd like you to answer this.
It's bad enough that I'm half Jewish and I have guilt built into me. Now I got more guilt about the RX Muscle community. I gotta make sure I get a radio show done at 52 weekends a year, you know.
Yeah. Yes, no, that's right. It's not every 3 weeks or something.
They used to pose on the stage, they stopped it at an odd age. They now are called the wise age, the Guru Q&A. They work on a computer and deal with all the lunars. They are a bunch of crooners, the Guru Q&A.
All right, well, let's do our Guru Q&A of the week. And the Guru Q&A of the week question is, what is the best carb to carb up on?
Yeah, well, you had asked me that, and I give my favorite answer, which is I don't know, which is...
And I don't know either, but well, there's no definitive answer, really.
No, there's no definitive answer, but I always say being able to admit or to acknowledge that you don't know is fine. You're halfway on track to get to the truth. So, because if I spit out, well, it's brown rice cakes with 30 milligrams of sodium per cake, then, you would call me out and say, Chris, you're full of it. So, I don't know. What I've done in the past is I've just tried to have bodybuilders who have eaten, dieted on whatever carb that they dieted on or prefer dieting on, carb up on that food, simply because it eliminates extra variables. So if a guy's been dieting on white rice, I don't want him really carving up on potatoes or potatoes and white rice or something like this, because for one reason or another, it may affect his food. The body's very attuned and adapts to what it likes and likes rhythm.
You're right.
So if you throw in, I think, something different, the body, can be thrown off kilter. And someone would say, Well, come on. If you're eating, let's say, 100 carbs on a diet, now you're carbing up on 350, 400, how is the switch from rice to potatoes going to change it? Well, it does. The body, you know, your body releases all kinds of chemicals and hormones in response to different foods that we eat. So, you know, I like to keep it simple and try to eliminate those stresses. And I've seen it. I've made the mistake of having people, you know, they say, "Oh, I'm going to carb up on potatoes. What do you think?" And say, "Yeah, how can it hurt your wrist?"
Right.
And, you know, and hold, you know, not like, well, they're holding tons of water. No, but just hold a little bit where, you know, in retrospect, looking back, I thought, gosh, you know, that I think that affected them, you know, to some degree that they switched towards the end. What do you think? What's your modus operandi towards the end?
I like white rice. I got to tell you, for some reason, white rice has no one ever. I've never heard one person tell me they can't eat rice where it bothers their stomach. They make them bloated. They get hives. Like, there's nothing in it like that can negatively affect you. I actually like brown rice better, but to carb up, you know, I like to use a quicker carb. So, and it's easy to measure. Even though I do have people who constantly call me and ask me how much rice is 30 or 45 grams of carbs. And yeah. My answer to them is it depends on what box you use them, because there's minute rice, there's half cooked rice, there's long grain rice, there's basmati. Right? You know, you got a million different rices, and each box has a different, you know, set of directions. So you got to follow the directions on the box, you know,
true.
For, you know, how much, you know, it is. Now, I believe like a half a cup or something like that uncooked is like 35 grams of carbs or something like that for minute rice, you know, white rice. But it might not be the same for a rice you have to put in a rice cooker. So you have to kind of measure. But once you measure it, it's very precise. Whereas a potato is like, what are you going to do? Start shaving off parts of the sweet potato? So I like it because it's more precise. And like I said, no one's ever complained. But there are guys that tell me they like to carb up on sweet potatoes. You know, and I've used it before and it works well. But like you said, usually I try to see what carbs I use with people off season, and if I'm using some in their pre-contest, especially in the beginning, I like to stick with the same carb sources that I know the person tolerates well. Because you're right, if you start putting in crazy weird things at the end, problems arise usually, and you know, that's the last thing you want. You got this guy 16 weeks in a row dieting, and then all of a sudden you change something at the end, and then everything goes wrong and you blow the one day. Another good thing, I'm sure you might even try, a lot of times I like to do like a mock carb up maybe a week or two before the show, where I might just carb them for one day to see how they tolerate the carbs and see how their body goes. And I think that's good for people to do, especially when they're doing first shows, to take a little like trial run almost and just see how your body responds so that you're not just, you know, rolling the dice on the day of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think, Dave? I wanted to ask you. You mentioned it, but sweet potatoes. What is your experience with yams or sweet potatoes? Because I've had. Well, let me. I want to hear from you. You know what you think.
I've used them myself to carb up. They're a slower carb. It's a lower glycemic index carb, so they kind of last in your system a little longer. So if you're trying to, you know, carb a person up rapidly, especially after, like, maybe some of these guys have to hold out until they make weight, it's probably not the best carb to use when you're trying to rapidly carb someone up. That I think the white rice and white potatoes work better there. But if you're going to do more of a slightly prolonged carb up, I think that they work fine.
Yeah, no, because I'm always, you know, they used to be my, you know, carb up food of choice, so to speak, you know, over the years. But I mean, just had a lot of people say, you know, they give me a lot of gas, you know, they give me a lot of, they blow my stomach. And I used to think, they don't blow your stomach. But sure, you know, I was just skeptical. But sure enough, you know, by seeing, you know, is believing, I guess. And seeing people who are, you know, following a carb up plan, eat a lot of sweet potatoes, it seems like they just, at some point, there's like a tipping point where they just either cause your gut to start to get all screwed up, or, you know, give you too much gas, which causes problems maybe in, you know, the way it's absorbed or whatever. But I mean, I like I said, they used to be my favorite, but I've gotten, you know, switched away from them the last couple of years just because so many people have told me, well, I've had problems with it and this and that. So I, you know.
Well, if it's it probably empties a little slower from the stomach too, and it gets absorbed slower because, you know, and so that's probably why, maybe, you know, especially if you're feeding someone a lot of carbs, you probably want something that's going to be digested and assimilated quicker. And so in that sense, probably not the best choice to make if that's what you're doing.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you're doing something that requires maybe a slower carb up with not as many grams of carbs, sweet potato might be more sustaining in that sense. I like to use sweet potatoes more off season. That's just my same brown rice and sweet potatoes I use off season. White potatoes I'll use to some degree, you know, the red potatoes and white rice to carb up, you know, pre contest. That's usually my methods.
Okay. Is the carb up, do you think a carb up, compare and contrast for me, that's because let's say a 3-day carb up on, I'm just pulling numbers out of my shirt, you know, let's say 400 grams of carbs for 3 days versus 2 days of, let's say, the same number of carbs or even less, but faster acting carbs. Do you think they have, you know, there's a different net effect on the way the body ends up looking? So just for the listener, meaning,
yeah.
so that the listener can carry, what I'm trying to figure out is, does the listener, you know, or the bodybuilder who wants to compete, would he benefit more by doing a slower, longer, let's say 3-day carb up, a 4-day carb up, or just 3 days, versus a short carb up, but with simple or faster acting carbs?
I think it depends on the person and how quickly they fill up. Like with women, some women I don't give any carbs. I don't even carb them up. But the women who I do carb up, I usually do 1 day with them because they fill up so fast, their muscles, that like you do more than that with most of them and they smooth out. Some guys are the same way. Some guys you can carb for the whole week, you know. Like a Juan Morell, his carbs never really come down because he's just a freak, you know. And I'll top him off at the end, but not too much more because he's already kind of close to being full. You know, some guys, you know, take a long time to carb up, so you really don't ever want to deplete them too much. And I know you probably experienced that. Then some guys you can deplete down to zero, and then, you know, you want to fill them up for 2-3 days. So I think that's more person specific, you know, and you have that's what comes. That's where you get, I guess, an advantage to having worked with someone before.
Yeah, you get to learn. Yeah, you draw that distinction on what works and what might not work. And then, so, what's your idea on, let's say, if somebody's been carving up for 3 days, and for whatever reason, you know, it comes Friday, the show's on Saturday, and you come in and take a look at them, and lo and behold, on paper, they should be blasting full. And the anomaly is, you look at them and you say, God, this guy still looks flat to me. And you look at the paper and say, gosh, he's gone through all these carbs. What do I do?
I bet you and I do the same thing. I know what you do. I send them for pancakes. You probably send them for pizza.
Yeah. Yes. It's, you know what? It's almost like, yeah. Because by, you know, just by the previous 3 days, there's been no net really fullness effect on eating all these carbs. So it's almost like the salt is needed as the spark plug to push. Or to cause something to happen. It's almost like starting an engine. It's you know, it's almost there to stop, but it just won't turn over. And it's almost like when you carb it up, look at it and think, God, how can this be? He's eating all these carbs. Everything's here. All the foundation is here to produce a full physique after 3 days. And it's not there. Guy goes out and eats, let's say, Ron Partlow. I carved him on so much sugar, like for 2 days. It was ridiculous, and he just kept on getting harder and harder.
I at the Junior Nationals, Shelby came to my room. Shelby Starnes the night before.
Oh, he looked excellent, by the way. Yes.
Thank you. He came to my room the night before, and he looked like he should be on stage the night before, and I knew that was a problem. So I said, go eat burger and fries. And he's like, nah, now? You know, because he's like very neurotic about this type of stuff. I'm like, yeah, now. I said, go eat a burger and fries. And I said, you don't get crazy because you're going to probably look a little smooth after that. But when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be perfect. And that's exactly what happened. I just knew that if I let him go the way he was going, he would have been as flat as a pancake in the morning, you know.
Yeah, you see, he was too tight.
Right.
So he was too tight. And after too tight comes almost... It doesn't come super crazy tight like no one's ever seen. It's like tight, and the next day, flat,
yeah. Well,
the body just like, yeah.
On that...
Yes, in that case, you have to rev the engine.
No, you do. You see, it really is. It takes, you know, it's a science to last week. Sometimes you can give a written formula, but there's always variables that you're not, you can't account for. So it's nice to be there and to be able to look at these guys, and that always helps. And I know you're always there with your clients at most of these shows, so that makes them feel a little bit more secure. We got to go to a commercial break, Chris, though. When we come back, I'm going to have Jubaka Singerman all the way from the, I think he's at the airport in Tampa still. He's going to be calling in with the update from I think he takes Continental Airlines terminal. So we'll see what he's got to say. Chris, we might take a week off next week. I don't know. I might actually give us the 4th of July off, but...
you got to get on that. You got to get on your wave runner.
Yeah, I got to hit some waves, but we'll talk to you a little bit. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. You are hardcore. That's why BBX Redline Ultra Hardcore is scientifically formulated with a patented tri-action liquid and micro-tab delivery system designed to deliver hardcore fat-burning actives into the body in as little as 45 seconds and lasts for hours. This makes Redline Ultra Hardcore the fastest acting, strongest stacking, longest-lasting fat burner ever assembled. You are hardcore. That's why you need Redline Ultra Hardcore. Visit VPXSports.com today for a free sample of Ultra Hardcore. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
Isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old school hand grips and rigid pull down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com.
Shaker Pro has designed the most innovative shaker in the fitness and bodybuilding world. Shaker Pro is the only shaker where the powder and liquid are stored separately and mixed together at the exact moment you desire. Mixing occurs in the closed Shaker Pro system. That means no more mess, just a perfect shake, guaranteed. Preparation takes place anytime, anywhere, in the car, at work, or in the locker room. No need to transport separate ingredients with you. The Shaker Pro is an all-in-one solution for everyone with an active lifestyle. The patented Shaker Pro chamber system guarantees that the mixing and blending of the ingredients will always produce a perfect shake every time. Simply twist, shake, and enjoy. Find out more about the Shaker Pro at 4sportlife.com. That's the number 4, sportlife.com.
From bikini to bodybuilding, CJ's Elite Custom Competition Suits is where the pros go. Founder and creator Cynthia James, known to the physique world as CJ, has been customizing suits for over 20 years with a unique combo of style, fit, and bling. CJ is the official suit creator for Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler, and being an IFBB Pro official and NPC judge, CJ knows what it takes to present the perfect package on stage. CJ personally manufactures every suit she creates using only the highest quality Austrian-made Swarovski first-cut crystals for an unmatched stage presence. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, no two designs are ever alike. Check out all of CJ's suits at cynthia-james.com, where you'll also find her latest bikini division suit innovations. CJ's Elite Custom Suits are what the pros wear. Jay Cutler, Tangi Johnson, Ava Cowan, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Trish Warren, and many more all know that CJ's Elite is the only way to go when it comes to top quality and innovative suits that fit every time. What are you waiting for? Visit cynthia-james.com right now and check out the new men's physique division creations as well. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, it's where the pros go.
Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Amp up your workout wardrobe with Physique Bodywear. Over 20 years of experience and over 300 styles to choose from and made in America. Visit PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com now and get fast shipping for all of your clothes. Tee tops, tank tops, posing suits, muscle shirts, workout pants and shorts, and so much more. And don't worry about size. We've got all you hardcore freaks fully covered. Affordable prices, fast delivery with same day shipping. And if you order now, make sure to mention RxMuscle.com. And save 10% off your first order. Call Physique Bodywear now at 845-473-4832 or order online at PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com. Physique Bodywear. We don't build champions, we dress them.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here on the line with Aaron Jubaka Singerman at the Tampa International Airport. So we have some authentic background noise coming out at you. Did you enjoy your extended weekend?
Yes, I did, Dave. I had a great time here in Tampa, and It just goes to show everybody out there, we don't miss a show. It doesn't matter if we're in the airport, wherever, we make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't too bad. We had a good weekend. I was talking to Chris about it a little earlier and told him that once again, you know, Tim Gardner really throws a great show. He made us all feel very important and la-da-da-da-da-da. I don't want to go and rehash it again. I did want to say...
I agree.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you had a good time. And I did, and it was a fun weekend, too. I was a little sick, and I'm still a little sick, but other than that, I enjoyed myself, and I was very impressed. I got to meet the owners of Precision Peptides, who are sponsoring our Bros vs. Pros 7 deadlift challenge coming up mm-hmm. in 2 weeks, and they're excited. I got them so excited, as a matter of fact, that them, and I think they're bringing Marcus Haley, they're going to be coming down to the Bros vs. Pros to hang out, so that should be fun. And
yeah, that's going to be great.
They're bringing gift certificates and all kinds of, you know, new stuff and samples, and I think they're starting
prize
packages. But they're starting a skin line too with some of their some of these peptide hormones, and I'm excited about that because I've actually used to get a facials done. We've talked about this. I got you to get a facial done, and when she would do this facial on me at the end, she was from I forget what country, like Bulgaria, I think she was from.
Slovakia or something.
One of these wacky countries, yeah. She used to put this cream on my face, and my face would look great the next day, and it was endothelial growth factor cream. It was a protein-derived hormone, peptide hormone, that they put in the cream, and that when you rubbed it on your face, any kind of like blemish and scrape or scratch or any kind of like irritation, it would like double or triple the healing time. What do you got, a terrorist attack going on over there?
This is the best we can do, Dave.
Did you hear that?
The show to live. Yeah, the guy is speaking Spanish right by me.
Oh, I thought it was Al-Qaeda speaking Arabic. No,
I'll tackle him. If that's necessary, I'll get him, Dave. If he's that close.
Anyway, so those guys are going to be down, coming down for the Bros Verse, which will be coming up in less than two weeks now, being held at the All Natural Gym in Lindenhurst, New York, hosted by Shauna Mendelson and Lou Darby, the owners there. And it's going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to it. I know you're going to be coming down that weekend. We have the Team Universe that weekend. It's going to be a huge, huge event.
And we're going to do a TV show, too. So it's like this is another all-weekend event.
Absolutely so. Absolutely so. Antitoni will be representing the IFBB women in a new format we're going to be holding, which will be three events for the women. They'll have to deadlift 150 for reps. They'll have to pull up their body weight for reps, and they'll have to curl half their body weight for reps. And the winner, whoever does the, I guess, all three of those the best, you know, the best combined scores, will take home $1,000 plus a nice $600 gift certificate from Precision Peptides. That's going to be fun. In the men's event, we're going to have, you know, we originally had Amit Sapir, who was coming in from Vegas to do some deadlifting with 405 to teach these bigger boys a lesson.
Coming in from Canada.
Dude. Oh, Canada. He's in. Okay, I thought he was in Vegas. And he backed out at the last minute. And luckily, we got two pros to step up to the plate. Ben White, who's a mainstay in our Bros vs. Pros challenges. And my good friend Dave Watson, who's an IFBB pro. And they're going to be going head-to-head with each other for a special prize package. Ben White versus Dave Watson, the youth versus, wisdom or older. I don't even know. I don't want to call him the senior citizen of the lineup. But Dave is 46. Ben's in his 30s, obviously. So
this is be Dave Watson strong? I don't know.
Very strong. Yes.
Very strong. Oh, good.
Yeah. Good. He's got the tenacious strength, and we'll have a special event. But obviously, whoever wins the 405 deadlifts for reps in the whole competition will take home $2,000. That's including all the bros that will be showing up, and I'm sure a lot of strong men will be coming down there for that $2,000. But more importantly, another $600 gift certificate for Precision Peptides. They'll also be giving out... Aaron, do you have to board the plane now?
No, it's the first time this has happened. No, I've got it in 2 hours.
Oh,
I got to say, Dave, for $600, with the prices that Precision Peptides charges, you can get like a year of supply for $600.
I know, they have very good prices, but they're also giving out prizes for second and third place as well. And then they're also giving, I think, an $800 certificate for the best lifter of the day or something like that. So we got a lot. They're giving away a lot. And then we have the at-large nutrition fire truck pull, which is a 1,000-pound fire truck. You're going to have to pull a certain distance. Mike Jenkins, who is the runner-up behind Brian Sharp, that Arnold strongman, will be representing the pro strongman. And anyone who wants to come down and challenge this guy, we're going to have some great prize packages from Precision Peptides as well. And it's going to be an all-around great event. It should be probably our biggest one we've held at to date, because this is a real powerlifting strongman gym. So we're going to get some real ringers in there, I think. And I'm excited. I'm excited because you guys are going to be down. It's going to be a very busy weekend. And I think we're going to see some new champions and some new great stuff given away. I love to give away stuff to bodybuilders because, you know what, they're the most underappreciated athletes in the entire industry. And I love giving away money and prizes and stuff. So, guys, don't miss it. July 10th, that's Sunday, July 10th, at the All Natural Gym in Lindenhurst, New York. That's on Long Island, New York. It'll start probably promptly at 2 p.m. If we're still alive after the Team Universe weekend. And I advise everyone to come down and check it out. Now, I wanted to bring up one thing before we get to talking about Ask Dave, because I know you have a lot of questions for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I was in the airport. I was in the airport with someone, and the guy spoke, I think he was German. Do you ever notice when you're with someone who speaks another language and you encounter a stranger or someone else who speaks the same language, you feel like an obligation to say, "God, you know, talk with each other." Like, you have to almost make them talk to each other. You know, like when I'm with Eugene and I run into someone who speaks Russian, I'm like, "Eugene, he speaks Russian." Like, you know, like it's a big deal. Like they have to and then they feel obligated to communicate in Russian with each other. You know what I'm talking about?
I think you just think it's funny and that's why you want them to do it. You find it amusing.
No, you don't do that. If you're with someone who speaks a language and you run into someone else who speaks that language, don't you say, "Hey, someone, he's Russian too."
No, I think it's just you.
Everyone does that. I can't be that nuts. All I know, it's like you feel obligated. You want them to communicate with each other on their own level.
I don't know. I think it might be just you on this one, Dave.
Like if I was in Spain and someone came up to me and said, "Oh, my friend speaks English," I would have to say, "Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, it's good. Yeah, where'd you learn English?" You know, I would have to feel obligated to speak to him in English. You know.
I could see that. But like if you had Eugene with you and you just see another Russian guy, it'd be a little weird. Be like, "Eugene, he's Russian. Talk, speak to him."
Well, I don't say speak to him. No, I don't say speak to him. I would say, "Eugene, I'd be like, "Eugene's Russian too." And then I wouldn't have to even prompt them. They would just spontaneously start speaking Russian with each other.
Well, that sounds more natural. I thought you actually had to prompt him to start speaking.
And my question is, why do you think people feel like do that?
Well, because you have something in common with other persons, so it's a common ground that, you know. It's like you see another bodybuilder, you talk about bodybuilding, I guess.
But you don't like go and hit poses like double bicep poses together.
No, I don't. That would be a little weird. Be like, "Let me check out your calves."
Oh boy. Yeah. All right, well,
there are probably some bodybuilders that do.
I had we have Jim Raquel on the show a little later. He's going to break down the whole show with me. Chris and I kind of talked about some of the highlights of the weekend. Why don't we go to Ask Dave, because we are a little rushed, and I know you're in the airport, and I know people are dying for this Ask Dave segment. Let's bang this out, and then this way you can get on your plane and fly home.
You unlock this gym door with the key of science. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of muscle, a dimension of protein.
Oh, good Lord.
A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of ketones and carbohydrates. You've just crossed over into the Ask Dave Q&A segment.
All right, sounds good, Dave. Let's start at the... We got so many questions. What's going to happen is we're not going to be able to ask all the questions.
You pick the best ones.
There's so many that I didn't have time to pick the best ones, but I'm going to go through them. And any ones that we don't ask, if people really want their question answered, we'll do a better one next week. So resubmit your questions if I don't ask them and you think they were good. Okay. Okay. So this is the first one, Dave. And this is from Josh Miller, GM on the board. Recently, for whatever reason, possibly all the Kovacs articles I've been reading and enjoying, I've started thinking about past mass monsters and became fixated on the late Trevor Smith. Can you give any stories about him or just general thoughts about him as a person or his views on training? Did you know him? And what did you think of the guy?
You know, I never really knew Trevor that well. I actually know his ex-wife very well because she's married to my accountant, Ron Norman, now. That's Nancy Smith. And, you know, Nancy's told me a lot of stories. But the only encounter I really had on an extended basis with Trevor was I did the USA in 2003, and I was second place behind Chris Cook. It was a controversial decision. A lot of people thought I should have won that show. And Trevor came up to me, and he gave me a tremendous compliment, you know, about how he felt I looked and that I should have won. And we talked, and you know what? I kind of made a connection with him there, and I kind of said, you know, this is a guy I wish I was friends with. The guy was enormous. I was 270, I guess, at that show, 268, and he was well over, like he was almost 400 pounds, I think, or something like that. I felt like a little kid next to him. The guy was enormous. I didn't even realize how big he was until he shook my hand. And if there's a picture, I think we've put online at some point, and if people have ever seen it, of me and him, and I don't remember who else was in the picture. And you just can see the enormity of how big he was. And according to his wife, Nancy, you know, he was one of these guys that never thought he was big enough. Like, he wanted to compete, but he wasn't ready yet because he thought he needed to be bigger. And I know people like that. There's people that never think they're big enough, and maybe that was his undoing. Super nice guy, and he was just real passionate about the sport of bodybuilding.
Do you think he was bigger or Greg Kovacs was bigger?
Kovacs. No one was bigger because Kovacs was 400, but he was pretty lean at 400, believe it or not.
Yeah, you could still see some abs, right?
Yeah.
All right, next question is from Jason Teagle, and he says he's attended a lot of local shows and he's seen many physiques with good potential but lack of conditioning. Do you think a lot of bodybuilders underestimate the amount of weight that they need to lose to get into shape and get caught up holding high numbers, like thinking they need to be a certain number on the scale?
Without a doubt, yeah. I see it all the time. And the first thing I tell my clients, at least, is the scale's important so I can track your progress, but it doesn't matter what you weigh because the mirror is the most important judge and tool in judging whether you're going to be in shape or not, or you're going to look good. So when you look good in the mirror, okay, then we know that you're ready to go. Don't worry about what the number on the scale says, because I've had guys come to me and say, I think I'm going to be 240 when I'm in shape, and then they wind up 225 and in shape. So you know, you gotta go by the way you look. The scale is only a measure or a tool to use to see if you're losing weight and you're making progress every week. Don't get caught up in that. A perfect example is Marius Doni, who won this Tampa show this past weekend. He won because he was the best conditioned guy up there.
Right. Next question, egg-sucking leech. He wants to know, Dave, I've heard you say a few times on your show that this or that bodybuilder lost leg size, and you speculated that maybe it's because they did too high-intensity cardio. This sounded like me, like you were suggesting spot reduction, but in muscle instead of fat. I thought this was a myth. Can you explain what you mean when you say that somebody loses leg size?
You can't spot reduce fat, but you can certainly spot reduce muscle. That's for sure. Okay, because if you work a muscle too hard, it'll atrophy. If you work a region of your body too hard, you can't force more fat to be burned from that region, because fat is fatty acids are pulled from fat cells equally throughout the body. It doesn't preferentially target one area. They have to enter the bloodstream first. So while it's not a myth, you can spot reduce muscle. It's been done many a time. It's harder for women to do it, it seems, but much easier for men.
This one is anonymous, Dave. When you were living with your parents, did your dad ever suspect or find out that you were using juice? And if so, what did he say?
My dad knew, I think, but just didn't know. You know, he didn't. My dad was one of these people that didn't tell me what to do ever. So he knew I was keeping growth hormone in his refrigerator. So he ought to knew it was something. You know, I'm sure he suspected I was huge. I mean, at some point he did know, and we just didn't really talk about it. You know, and he just assumed that I was doing things, you know, properly. I was going to the doctor and taking care of myself. But yeah, my dad was never one of these people, because, you know what, I was never a bad kid. I never missed school. I never didn't behave myself. He never got calls from the police station, you know, got arrested. So I think he kind of trusted me a lot more than like most parents would with their kids, who might have had more problems, you know, in the past. You kind of judge by, I guess, your previous actions. And so he kind of just laid off at telling me what to do and let me live my life, which was, I can definitely respect that. tremendously from.
He felt, I think he must have felt like you knew what you were doing because you made it this far for that long without getting in too much trouble, right?
Yeah, I think he just, my dad never told me what to do. So it wasn't a matter of that he was, you know, he wasn't a caring father because he was there all the time, probably too much, driving me crazy with other stuff. But he never said, don't do this, don't do that, you shouldn't do this, don't cut your hair, get tattoos, don't get tattoos. You know, he never gave me instructions. My dad didn't, I got a tattoo, he didn't even know I had it for 10 years. So
that's funny. I think maybe that's why my parents are just the opposite, because I got into so much trouble, huh?
Right, they worry about you, of course, because of that.
Yeah. All right, next question is from Dorian. He wants to, not Dorian Yates. He wants to know, Dave, do you think a person could use the old metrics type diet like you use, basically living off of shakes, to prepare for a natural bodybuilding show or a men's physique show? Or do you think that solid foods are a requirement to keep your metabolism running and burning fat?
I think anyone could live off shakes if you want to. It gets really boring, though, just drinking all the time. You miss that chewing phenomenon, and they don't sustain you that long. And to tell you the truth, you know, I never did an exclusive shake diet. I know Conley recommended it for some guys, but I always had some food in there, too.
This is from Big Barry from the board.
Okay.
And his question is, Dave, I had reconstructive surgery on both of my shoulders a few years ago. Since then, the growth has been slow in both my front delts and upper pecs. I do have and did have deep tissue work done, but probably not as much as I needed to due to finances. I do train both areas very hard and with proper technique. I remember listening to a show a few months ago where Dave explained that injecting into the muscle can aid in growth. Dave, do you think that it's worth trying this? And if so, in the front delt and upper pec area? Big Barry.
You know, spot injecting really just all it does is help with mind-muscle connection because it creates irritation there, so you kind of feel the area better when you're training it. It doesn't actually make the muscle grow just by the sheer fact of injecting into it.
Right.
Aaron, are you smuggling, trying to smuggle weed into the airport again?
Dave, you're giving me away. You're on speakerphone.
If they card Aaron away during this interview, it will be a classic moment in RX Muscle history. Aaron Singleman being taken by the TSA TSA during an episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. So what was I saying?
Just keep going.
What were you talking about?
I don't know. I ask you the questions, you do the answers.
I don't even remember the question. Oh, spot injecting. So yeah, the actual act of spot injecting into that muscle is not going to make it grow. It's the mind-muscle connection that you get from that spot injection that will enable you to train it harder and train it more specific and target it better so that it will grow. And that's something important to remember.
You said you used to inject your upper chest before a chest workout. When you hit incline, you would feel your upper chest more.
Right, but I would use a very small amount, maybe half a cc in each upper pec, and that was once again
with an insulin needle.
Right, so it would cause an inflammation in there, and then when I was training it, I felt the upper inner pec more, and I was able to squeeze it better. A lot of times, guys can't grow because they can't feel the muscle for one reason or another. Because it's and then the irony is that as you get bigger and you have more muscle, you can squeeze it easier, and it makes it easier to grow, and that's why you don't need to do as many sets either. So when you're first starting out as an amateur, I mean as a novice, a lot of times you need to do more repetitions and more sets because it's just really hard to feel the muscle. You have to build up those nerve muscle pathways.
Right. G. Davis from the board wants to know, Dave, what machine is preferred for bodybuilding friendly cardio? What do you feel has the advantages as far as the cardio machines? And he lists them off: stepmill, elliptical, stationary bike, treadmill, rowing.
I like the treadmill and I like the recumbent bike. I feel they're the least stressful on the body. I never used the treadmill until they started decks in them, and now I watch movies and stuff like that. I plug my headset in, so I like to walk on the treadmill. Back in the day when I was really big, I used to do mostly recumbent bike. Now, I see some bodybuilders doing the, I don't know if I saw you doing it, the, what is that called? The elliptical?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, me.
Yeah, some people like that. I haven't actually used it that much. To me, it's a little weird feeling. I don't like when my body's unstable because I have like biomechanical problems with my feet. So to me, it's a little floaty to me, but you know, I don't think it's bad because it's really not high impact. So as long as
you know
your activity.
Why I like it?
Why?
because it keeps your feet don't your toes and heels don't lift up, so they're stuck on that plane.
That's interesting.
So I don't get, like, when I walk on a treadmill for, you know, miles, I tend to get blisters on my feet, and it makes my feet hurt. But on those, on the elliptical, I can do it for, you know, 45 minutes an hour, even a few times a day, and my feet don't bother me.
I never even tried it, you know, so that might be, yeah. You might have a good point there.
So, there you go. Next question. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Scott B. from the board. Hi, Dave. I've slowly been losing my hair over the last few years, which has worsened from previous steroid use in the past. I recently came across an old issue of Muscle Media 2000, July 96 edition. In it, Michael Mooney says that there's an anti-dandruff shampoo called ketoconazole that can stop hair loss. He says that it inhibits DHT from binding to the hair follicle. Have you heard of this? Is this the best thing for it, and does this still work?
You know, back in the day when he used to write about that for Muscle Media, I tried that. I forget what the name of the shampoo is called. I had a bunch of bottles.
It starts with an F, doesn't it?
I can't remember. This is called old age when you can't remember the names of it. It was a, you're right, it was a ketoconazole-based shampoo, which is an antifungal type of drug. I think I've talked about that. If you know any women who have yeast infections, a lot of times the doctors will prescribe Diflucan, which is a pill. You take one pill and it gets rid of the yeast infection. That is ketoconazole. It kills the yeast, you know, any kind of fungus. For some reason, when you use that on your head, it's usually used for anti-dandruff caused by some kind of fungal type or yeast infections. When you use that on your head, it was supposed to help clear out the hair follicles so that the hair would grow better. I used it a lot, you know, when I was trying to combat hair loss in the late 90s. And what I noticed was it dried the shit out of my scalp. And I started getting dandruff because of it. To me, that was worse than the hair loss. So I didn't really notice too much hair regrowth. So I stopped using it. But theoretically, it works. But yeah, I know a couple people that happen to. It makes your scalp peel. And it's not a very fun thing when you have flakes falling out of your hair, you know. So I wouldn't suggest using it.
All right. Is there a shampoo that you do suggest
for hair loss?
You want to give a suggestion?
Yeah. I don't think any of them work. There's a lot out there, you know. The ones that you feel tingly on the scalp, you think, well, it increases circulation. Maybe it'll help hair growth. I haven't found any personally. The only thing that I've noticed was that finasteride, okay, taken around 2.5 milligrams a day, will help you lose any more hair. It doesn't really, in my estimation, it doesn't cause any hair regrowth, but it kind of stops the hair loss, and that's what I take now. So I'm trying to maintain whatever I got left, basically.
Now that you don't take anything, really, do you think your hair would keep, if you stopped, do you think you would keep losing hair like you were?
I think it's a genetic thing. I think it had nothing to do with taking anabolic steroids, because I never lost a hair on my head till I was 30, and I was taking a lot of steroids before I was 30. So I think what happens is that I have a genetic predisposition for it, and at a certain age, you start losing it. And this finasteride seems, the blocking the DHT definitely does help with losing further hair, but I don't think there's much you can do in terms of regrowth at this point. I'm waiting for them to start cloning the hair follicle so we can get some stem cell action going up there. But I mean, look at Dorian Yates. He has a full head of hair. He never lost any hair. It's all, and there's other bodybuilders out there.
Bob Ciccarillo.
Or look at Jay Cutler.
Yeah, Jay Cutler.
Dennis Wolf, you know, so these, you know, either it's a genetic thing. It really, the steroids might amplify it a little bit, but if you have a predisposition to lose it, you'll lose it. If you don't, you won't.
Next question. Joe293 says, Dave, if I have complete gyno surgery and removing the gland, will I ever have to run an AI aromatase inhibitor or a Novaldex or something like that again?
You won't, in terms of for gyno purposes, but you might, just because of your estrogen levels get high, you're losing testosterone, you might retain fluid. So it's actually harder to tell if you have high estrogen. You got to go for blood work. You know, I have no glands, so I went for blood work, you know, about a year ago, and my estrogen was higher than I really expected it to be, because I don't really have any symptoms. You know, I don't hold water or anything like that, and I have no glands, so I don't have any sensitivity there, but it was high, so I started taking a little bit of Arimidex, and it dropped it so low I had to actually cut back. So I take about maybe a quarter of a milligram of Arimidex a day, and that seems to keep the estrogen at bay, but doesn't keep my estrogen too low. So you have to, To say you don't need it is not really true, but you don't need it in terms of the glands growing back. Once they're removed the right way, they do not come back.
Okay. This is a weird question. It's an anonymous question. I don't know if you're going to have an answer for it, but it was weird enough that I thought I will ask it just because it's weird. Every once in a while, we get a really weird one. How much protein do you think you would get from a 12-ounce lean piece of human meat? What part of a human would be the leanest for me to eat?
Well, I really don't even want to give any advice out on this because, number one, I don't know. But number two, I certainly don't want to anyone to go try it, that's for sure.
That's a pretty weird question, right?
On a bodybuilder, probably all the parts, a pre-contest bodybuilder, you wouldn't have any fat on anything, really. I guess, you know, what would be the leanest part of the cow is the what? The top round. So what is that, the top part of the cow?
The lat or something, maybe?
Yeah, I guess probably the lat would probably be in there. And we should ask Guy Cisternino. He's a butcher. Him and his dad butcher stuff all the time.
He would be good, you're right.
If I had to eat Ronnie Coleman's body, he'd probably his glutes. He's got some good glutes there. He's probably pretty lean right there. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I guess you'd have to call Hannibal Lecter up and ask him.
Yeah, Hannibal will tell you. Just usually have some nice Chianti with it, some fava beans.
That's right.
Leon wants to know, Dave, what do you think? I've been reading research on doing cardio on an empty stomach. It seems like it's up in the air. What do you think? Cardio on an empty stomach, or can I have protein first?
Empty stomach. I think that you should always be empty. So the best way to be empty is either first thing in the morning before you eat or after you train. Because after you train, you've depleted all your glycogen pretty much out of everything. And you're pretty much empty as well. That doesn't mean you can't do cardio, you know, on a non-empty stomach. It just means it's more effective on an empty stomach.
The same gentleman wants to know, Dave, do you have any experience with two-a-day weight training sessions? What are the advantages, especially related in regard to hormones?
Please report any suspicious items or behavior, and do not leave your lunch.
You hear that, Dave? If you have any see any suspicious behavior, you should report that.
Hey, if you see any suspicious Jews lurking around Tampa Airport, just report them.
If you see anybody who wants to eat human meat.
That's right. What was the question again?
Do you have any experience with two-a-day weight training sessions? Right. What are the advantages or disadvantages, especially regarding to hormones?
I always found it was a disadvantage. I tried it for a while because I had the schedule to be able to do it where I didn't have to work or anything like that, a real job. And I found that I had problems recovering. I was always fatigued. And I started not liking going to the gym anymore. To me, to go to the gym twice every day became a chore. And when working out doesn't become fun anymore, that's a problem. So I think once a day is more than enough. I think it's psychologically better. The disadvantage is also that you can exhaust your neurotransmitters too much, so much so that you can get into a state of overtraining very quickly. Not many people can recover from double workouts, you know, 5 to 6 days a week. It's just too much. I would say stick to one session. There's no reason why you can't get your workout done in one session, and then go back and rest. That's the key to growth.
Dave, what do you think of yohimbine as a fat burner?
Not bad for certain people. Works better on lower body fat, estrogen dependent lower body fat. Some people report that it works well. Some people say so. You have to give it a shot. It really works better for women who have like that real, that stubborn like lower body, what I want to call almost like cellulite-y fat. It works better on them than say on men. Men really don't get too many good results from yohimbine.
All right, we're going to end with this last question, Dave. Okay. Like I said, there are a lot of other questions, so if you didn't hear your question asked and you're upset about it, don't be upset. Just resend it again, and we'll ask it next week. Anyway, this is from Mike Phillips. And he says, Dave, you're supposed to be a conditioning buff. Why is it that we never hear you talk about Andreas Munzer?
Andreas Munzer was probably the most shredded guy of all time. I was... The irony of the whole of Andreas Munzer, it's really a tragedy, was that I went to med school with this kid, Steven Svalak, who became a plastic surgeon. He's in Hollywood now, or Beverly Hills. And he looked exactly like him. They were like brothers. I mean, he could be a double for this guy. And so we used to call him Munzer all the time in the gym. And he wasn't ripped like Andreas, but Andreas Munzer was up close, the most freaky guy you've ever seen. He had striations in places that you didn't know were striated. Unfortunately, the guy died, and, you know, this, what else is there to say about it? The guy was cut short in the midst of his career. Whether it was his own fault via drugs he took or he got sick, no one really knows. I don't think there was ever a determined cause of death. We do know that he was taking an enormous amount of drugs, and but he more than likely died from too many diuretics. So it's I guess it became a lesson in that, you know, more is not better. At some point, you know, you have to stop pushing that envelope and realize that there's a happy medium or balance that you have to reach. And that's not to say that that a normal person can't get to that level of conditioning that he had, but I think that he went over the line at that point, and I don't really want to condone that, what he did, because I wouldn't want to see anyone. I wouldn't want to see my worst enemy die like that.
Yeah. I got one last question I want to ask. This will be a quick one. Jaroslava Sloviavia or something.
Jaroslav. Okay.
Whatever. Yeah, him. He wants to know, I recently heard a radio show where Nasser Sambate, El Sambate, was interviewed and said that at his most, he took 5,000 milligrams of different anabolic steroids per week. That wasn't shocking, but he said he was taking 30 IUs of growth hormone a day pre-contest. Have you ever heard of anybody taking this much before? And is this really excessive?
Well, it's pretty obvious that it is excessive. I don't really know too many people who have taken that. I've known guys that took 18 IUs a day because they would use a bottle of Serostim every day. I never heard 30 IUs. To me, anything over 5 or 6. I know guys like to use 8. Some of these pros use 8. I think it's too much. I think it's a waste of money, but, you know, that's a personal decision that guys have to make. 30 IUs is complete ridiculousness. There's no way your body can use that much of it. All you're going to get is side effects from taking that much. And that's probably why a lot of these guys were so bloated and they had so many problems with water retention. So to answer his question, ridiculous, yeah.
I would imagine if you're doing 30 IUs of growth hormone a day, you'd probably be holding, you know, a good 15 pounds of fluid.
Easily.
Yeah. That's got to be tough if you're pre-contest. I guess you have to cut. I mean, obviously, you don't want to suggest this to anybody, but you Nasser would have to cut that out pretty early, right? To drop that fluid,
they would stop like 2 weeks before. Yeah, but you know that it's just it's ridiculous to take that much. You know, people always ask me if I take growth hormone, will I get acromegaly or I get like bone growth? From that much, you definitely will, because that's a very high dosage. It's like overkill. Your body, they don't even give kids who have growth deficiency that much growth hormone. So I don't know who came up with, you know what, it's the more is better philosophy that bodybuilders adhere to. If Jay Cutler is using this much, then this guy's got to use this much, and if this guy's using this much, and this guy, so it comes down to, well, Nash is like, well, if he's using this, I'll use 30 IUs, and then there'll be some other guy who'll have a very good connection, and he'll use 50 IUs, and it's just diminishing returns. It doesn't help. It doesn't make the physique look better, and a lot of times it makes it look worse, actually.
All right, Dave. That's the end of the Ask Dave segment, and I got to get on my plane pretty soon. So, as always, if you want to ask a question to Dave or you want to try to stump the jumbo, we did have some stump the jumbo questions this time, but we didn't get to them. So, also, make sure when you send me the stump the jumbo questions, don't just give me the question. Also, give me the answer. I got a few. I got several of them where I just got a question, and I don't know the answer to these things. So, make sure you put an answer to the question. And if you do have a question, please email me at jubacca@rxmuscle.com. If you want your question asked anonymously, please say that in the email. Otherwise, I'll say your name.
All right. Well, Aaron, have a safe flight home, and we'll be talking to you this week. We got the weekend off, so enjoy your 4th of July.
I'll be dieting, Dave. I'm dieting hard now.
You are. I have to tell you, you were very good, very strict the whole weekend, except for the Saturday night when you went out and had some drinks, and you had planned that, so that was okay.
Yep. So I'm doing pretty good.
So Tad,
I never got to show you how I look, but
I want to just say, Tad, he was good this weekend. I didn't catch him cheating once.
Good. Thank you for that. And if you would have, you would have told everybody. So
I definitely would have added you without a doubt. All right, we got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll have our first guest.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. You are hardcore. That's why VPX Redline Ultra Hardcore is scientifically formulated with a patented tri-action liquid and micro-tab
system designed to deliver hardcore fat-burning actives into the body in as little as 45 seconds and lasts for hours. This makes Redline Ultra Hardcore the fastest acting, strongest stacking, longest-lasting fat burner ever assembled. You are hardcore. That's why you need Redline Ultra Hardcore. Visit VPXSports.com today for a free sample of Ultra Hardcore.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com. An expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
Isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old school hand grips and rigid pull down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com.
Shaker Pro has designed the most innovative shaker in the fitness and bodybuilding world. Shaker Pro is the only shaker where the powder and liquid are stored separately and mixed together at the exact moment you desire. Mixing occurs in the closed Shaker Pro system. That means no more mess, just a perfect shake guaranteed. Preparation takes place anytime, anywhere, in the car, at work, or in the locker room. No need to transport separate ingredients with you. The Shaker Pro is an all-in-one solution for everyone with an active lifestyle. The patented Shaker Pro chamber system guarantees that the mixing and blending of the ingredients will always produce a perfect shake every time. Simply twist, shake, and enjoy. Find out more about the Shaker Pro at 4sportlife.com. That's the number 4sportlife.com.
From bikini to bodybuilding, CJ's Elite Custom Competition Suits is where the pros go. Founder and creator Cynthia James, known to the physique world as CJ, has been customizing suits for over 20 years with a unique combo of style, fit, and bling. CJ is the official suit creator for Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler, and being an IFBB Pro official and NPC judge, CJ knows what it takes to present the perfect package on stage. CJ personally manufactures every suit she creates using only the highest quality Austrian-made Swarovski first-cut crystals for an unmatched stage presence. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, no two designs are ever alike. Check out all of CJ's suits at cynthia-james.com, where you'll also find her latest bikini division suit innovations. CJ's Elite Custom Suits are what the pros wear. Jay Cutler, Tanji Johnson, Ava Cowan, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Trish Warren, and many more all know that CJ's Elite is the only way to go when it comes to top quality and innovative suits that fit every time. What are you waiting for? Visit cynthia-james.com right now and check out the new men's physique division creations as well. CJ's Elite Custom Suits. It's where the pros go.
Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Amp up your workout wardrobe with Physique Bodywear. Over 20 years of experience and over 300 styles to choose from and made in America. Visit PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com now and get fast shipping for all of your clothes. Tee tops, tank tops, posing suits, muscle shirts, workout pants and shorts, and so much more. And don't worry about size. We've got all you hardcore freaks fully covered. Affordable prices, fast delivery with same day shipping. And if you order now, make sure to mention RxMuscle.com. And save 10% off your first order. Call Physique Bodywear now at 845-473-4832 or order online at PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com. Physique Bodywear. We don't build champions, we dress them.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X, Jen Gates as Shade, Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus, Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress, and their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind, limited-edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
All right, our next guest was the head judge at the 2011 IFBB PBW Tampa Pro this past weekend. He called all the shots, all the call-outs, and who better to have on the show than the guy who was saw it right from the judging panel. So we have him here tonight back on the show. I want to welcome back Jim Raquel.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be here.
Jim, you ran this panel. It was an interesting show. I like shows like this, and I think you probably do too, because when you don't have like a foregone conclusion as to who's going to win, like you don't have a Kai Greene in there and you know he's going to win the show, it kind of makes things more interesting because you don't know who's going to rise to the top of the crop, so to speak. Do you enjoy these smaller shows a little better?
Oh, yeah, exactly. It gives all the guys a shot, so it's kind of nice to see, and you know, they bring their best, and we pick them apart, but it's good. Yeah, I like that.
And you know what I noticed this time around was you really worked these guys pretty severely. Not even the top necessarily guys, but sometimes that second call out, you worked them really, really hard. Was it tough to distinguish between that second group?
Yeah, it's always like you say, when you don't have a lot of names in there or the your so-called A group, it's better to give these guys as much as you can in terms of comparisons, you know, as well as the A group, you know, when you've got them there. But I like to make sure that when we compare these guys, as Bob Ciccarillo would say, you always get the fourth compared to the fifth, and the fifth right. compared to the sixth, this type of thing. So I kind of go out of my way to make sure that type of thing happens. You know, we might miss one every once in a while, but it does give us a better perspective when we grill them the way we do in terms of that middle area.
It's also good so these guys can't complain afterwards, because they can go and look at the pictures and say, look, I did stand next to this guy, and I wasn't better than him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it gives them, it gives them their due, too, though, because, you know, really, to be honest with you, they deserve to be compared. And, you know, I'm all for that. As long as the time permits and, you know, we can do it, I'll always do it.
Let's talk about Marius Doni, who won this show, his first pro show that he's, or first pro victory, I should say, that he's had. In this lineup, was he, I mean, from the scorecards, he was unanimous. When he came out there, did you guys have to do much scrutinizing of the way he looked, or was it pretty much he's the winner and then let's look for second place?
Well, no, it wasn't pretty much he's the winner, but we could tell that, you know, he was definitely going to be one of those guys on the top. He was very well conditioned. He carried himself pretty well. He seemed to be really into himself, you know, when he was up there. I mean, he was posing when everybody else was pretty much standing still, but he definitely showed that conditioning, and then, you know, he was prepared. And so we knew he was going to be up in that first call out at some point. So, but we hadn't seen him before.
From a judge's perspective, obviously he was the best guy there. Like I said, he unanimously got first place votes from both the night show and pre-judging. So I have to assume that after scrutinizing, everyone pretty much assumed he was the winner. But as a judge, what would you say were his strong points, and what would you say were his weaknesses that he needs to maybe work on to get to that next level of pro bodybuilding?
You know, it's difficult to say, because he wasn't next to anybody that's on that next level.
Right.
He looked good where he was in terms of, you know, the guys he was competing against. My suspicion is he's just not going to be big enough to handle the likes of, you know, that next group of guys coming up. You know, all the way, you know, obviously not Phil and Kai and those guys, but the guys a little bit lower than them. He's just probably not going to be as big as he needs to be. I mean, he looks like he could fill it out, though.
Right.
But,
so he needs more muscle, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a muscle issue. Yeah, I mean, he definitely has that conditioning down, though, which is for a big guy. And he appeared to be a big guy. I don't know how tall he was, but...
You know, you make a very good point, because I think a lot of, and I think hopefully a lot of people are listening to this, and some of the pro, guys that are just getting into the pro ranks and just starting out, listen to this. I think this is an important thing. Conditioning really won this show for him, because had he come in 10% off, it might have been a completely different story. I think a lot of these guys sometimes worry too much about being big enough, and they forget the conditioning part when they hit the pro ranks.
Exactly. They get carried away with it. We've seen it happen numerous times, especially with guys just coming out of their qualifications. You're getting their qualifications out of the NPC, and all of a sudden they're 20, 30 pounds heavier in their first pro show. You know, it's just nuts.
Now,
you know, you win because of your conditioning and what you look like at the time. Why would you want to alter that? You know, maybe 5 pounds a year, or 5 to 10 max, but let's face it, you're not going to pull a Ronnie Coleman. That's pretty unusual.
Right. Now, are you, as a judge, are you more impressed with someone who brings a supreme level of conditioning and maybe is lacking a little bit of size in certain areas, as opposed to being that fuller, a slightly smoother look?
I can't give you a definite on that. I could say sometimes.
Right. No, I know what you're saying. Do you judge what's up there?
Yeah, you judge what's up there. And sometimes that particular part of the judging criteria overrules the conditioning. But then at other times, that genetic physique that's up there that has all the right parts in the right places, even though it might not be as conditioned, is gonna win. So
it really depends. Let's move to second place. This is a good segue. Hidetama Yamagishi, when he's at his best, is known for his supreme conditioning, and I think that's probably why he beats bigger guys.
Exactly.
And he has obviously good symmetry and shape. This Hidetada that I saw on stage, and maybe you can validate this, was not the best Hidetada I have ever seen before.
No, he was a little off. His conditioning, you know, wasn't where he probably needed it to be to beat this guy. But could have probably had he been in, you know, that top shape.
Now, having said that, it was good enough to beat Frank McGrath, Mark Dugdale, and Marcus Haley. What in your mind as a judge, you know, pushed Hita Tada above these next three guys?
Hita Tada is what I would call a consummate pro. He knows his shots. He hits very, very good bodybuilding shots, and all his muscle just kind of flows. He's an exceptional poser. He presents his body to its, you know, its best degree out there, and that to me gives him the edge over some of these guys that might not have that type of style or charisma out there.
So you're saying what I've said many times before: presentation sometimes could win a show for you, and then you go back and look at the picture, you're like, wow, the guy didn't look that good, but on stage when he was posing, the way he presented himself,
it comes out right, exactly. Mm.
Which I can understand with Frank McGrath is really kind of a novice to the pro division.
Right.
He placed fifth in Toronto the week before, came back here, looked to me a little tighter. Even though his conditioning might have been better than Yamagishi, what you're saying is he didn't present what he had as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Yamagishi, he hits things right on the money. You know, and to their best, you know, to project himself the best possible way, you know, because he knows his body maybe a little bit better than the other guys. And he's just so adept at doing it that it makes his physique look very, very good up there, even if he's slightly off.
Right. So what you're saying is, you know, sometimes you have to be in the judging panel and watching it live rather than looking at the tape afterwards or looking at the pictures afterwards, and because, you know, everyone wants to be a Monday morning, judge.
When people tell me, well, I say to them, look, the picture is not a three-dimensional, object. We've got to see it live. It's so much different when you're 20 feet away from the guys than it is looking at a picture that was taken the next day or whatever. It's just not the same.
Given the fact that Frank McGrath was supremely conditioned, is that what got him that third place in Olympia qualification over, say, a Dugdale and Marcus Haley?
Yeah, I think so. I think that kind of ruled out, although Mark was in great condition as well. It's just Frank just looked a little better in terms of his shots. And that's it, really. And Marcus was a little bit off in terms of his physique. Marcus has definitely got the muscle up there. He just didn't have that last conditioning effort that he needed.
Now, Marcus Haley looked very upset up there, noticeably upset with his placing. And I have to believe it probably has something to do with, and you could confirm this, when he did Orlando earlier this year, he was second place and arguably a lot smoother than he was here. But I would have to say maybe the lineup was not as tough. Is that an inconsistency that happens just because you have to judge what's up there?
No, I think with Marcus, and Marcus actually sent me an email last night saying he was disappointed that he didn't place any higher, but he also wanted to express to me that his look on the stage at that particular time was not to diss the judges or the audience or anybody else. He was upset with himself. Mm-hmm. You know, he was more upset the fact that he just didn't perform the way he needed to perform and get the placing that he wanted. So with Marcus, you know, and I told him, you know, don't worry about it. Judges are not going to hold anything against you for that. It's just we know you're a fighter, you know, and, you know, we understand that. So.
All right. Well, so, I mean, at least he, you know, sometimes I always tell people before you say anything or start criticizing, wait 48 hours and calm down first and then look at the pictures and then go back and really make an assessment of whether, you know, you got a bad deal or not.
No, so true. I mean, the emotions are running high for the first 24 hours, no doubt.
Especially after 16 weeks of killing yourself, dieting, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a killer.
What in your mind separated Dugdale from McGrath? Because their scoring was pretty close on the scorecards. And, you know, arguably, like you said, their conditioning was very similar. Was it just a size factor?
Might have been a little bit of size. Might have been a little bit of symmetry. Mark needs to cut a little bit more into the waist area. And Frank projects a little bit more of that wider shoulder look. Mm. That's probably it. And, you know, I've been used to seeing Mark at a lower, I'm not going to say lower weight, but, you know.
At the 202 class.
The 202 class, right. The rather than, you know, with the full men's division, full opens division. So
would Doug Dale be smart to drop down to this 212 class that's going to be starting after the Olympia?
I don't know what his weight is. Weight was for this particular.
About that, yeah. He said about
was
that.
Was it about that?
Yeah.
Then he definitely would be, because he'd be right on the money. He's the top of the class, and his conditioning would be really good, yeah. Yeah, I'd say that, yeah, for sure. I don't know if he's thinking that or not, but.
I think he probably has to be. I think he really didn't like that 202 because it was very hard for him. He had to sacrifice muscle, and then, you know, the 212 seems like almost custom made for him, I would think.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a great fit for him, yeah, because he's in great shape. And, he's a good competitor, too. He knows his body really well.
Yeah, yeah, he never shows up really too much off the mark. Let's talk about, I really want to get your opinion, and I know what my opinion is, and I've given it several times in the last couple of shows, but Jason Ha, who wins the USA last year, oodles of muscle this guy's got, maybe the most muscle for his height on stage. What's this guy doing wrong, and as a judge, what would you like to see him improve?
Well, what he's doing wrong is just not coming in conditioned. You know, and I don't know what that's a result of, either his mindset, his size, or his nutrition is wrong. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, because this guy has got unlimited potential with the kind of muscle he carries in the joints. I mean, he's just, he's top quality material there.
Yeah, he's freaky looking,
yeah.
Too. Yeah, I mean, he's...
Yeah, and he's a good-looking kid, and he hits shots well, and, you know, he's got that nice balance between the upper and lower body, and it's a big balance, too. So, I don't know.
And when was the last time you've seen a guy that big hit a vacuum pose, right?
Yeah, no, I know. That's not too common, for sure.
Going from Jason Ha, who's obviously a future talent, if he can dial in that conditioning... What about Brandon Curry? I'm a little confused, and maybe you could clarify this. Brandon Curry, who the week before in Toronto does very well, qualifies for the Olympia, and then this week comes in here. Was he that much different? Because I wasn't in Toronto.
No, I think that the competition was that much better, though, than that where he ended up.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he was that much different. You know, he was definitely a little less conditioned than he was last week.
What does he need to do? Is he still lacking in the leg area, in your opinion?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he's very much upper body oriented. He's got the big arms. He's got a nice taper to the waist. But, yeah, he does need that more leg sweep to get himself a little bit more balance, for sure.
And I'm sure that's probably why he's not dialing the conditioning in too greatly, because I would assume it would make his legs look that much smaller, even if they were
probably
tighter, you know?
Probably, yeah. It would just... Then it would throw him way off. Then,
yeah.
So, but you know, he's got that nice look too. You know, that nice, you know, really nice tapered look. So,
I mean, structurally, you'd have to say, you know, if you wanted a bodybuilder's physique, you'd have to say, man, I'd like to have that guy's physique. You know,
structurally awesome.
Speaking,
no so. Doubt.
All right, well, Brandon, if you're listening out there, just bring those legs up and dial that in a little bit more. Let's talk about the move on to that 202 class, which was kind of, you know, I thought it was going to be a very underwhelming class, and I was like almost not looking forward to watching it. And it turned out to be a battle, and a really good battle, too, between Al Agusti and Rixio Tapia. And I was surprised to see, not really surprised, other people were surprised, because a lot of people thought Al Agusti won this on a foregone conclusion, like it wasn't even close. But after looking at the scorecards and you pointing out to me, Rixio Tapia was actually in the lead after the prejudging.
Yeah, he was. Rixio was in the lead. He showed tremendous conditioning, and he had that nice look about him. Really good taper to the waist, and he was hitting everything really nice. And Al just looked a little flat and just not there during the prejudging. Just not enough.
When you say not there, what exactly was not there? Something obviously as a judge you were looking at and you said, well, something didn't click. What wasn't clicking in your mind?
I think to me, Rixio just presented that better look in terms of symmetry. And Al looked a little thick-waisted to me at prejudging.
You think he was holding water? Was that what it was in your mind?
That's a possibility, because at night he came out and he was smoking. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everything was popping. You know, and you just didn't see that same look. So that's a good thought. That's probably what happened.
This is an important point you bring up, because, you know, these shows are not decided at the prejudging, obviously. They do judge at night, and if it wasn't for the fact that Al came back better, he would have been second place here.
Yeah, he would have been second. In fact, this is what's now called the confirmation of scoring round, and we implemented it, decided to implement it last year, and it does work. I mean, it takes a little more time sometimes, but it does give you that that second look, and if it's close, it could go. And even if sometimes if it's not close, it's going to go, because if you get a competitor that comes back and just totally you know, blows it, you know, either goes out and eats or like does whatever, I mean, he's not going to place as high. It does give us that option, and we do it, and we are actually judging. It's actually judged.
Now, let's say a guy comes back, and it's a close battle at the pre-judging, and then you come back, and it's a close battle at night, but the second guy does better at night, and he looks a lot better. If the scores don't add up, and the guy had enough after the pre-judging to win it, is that a problem? I mean,
no, it's not a problem. It's, you know, you got to go with what your scores say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not going to be in a position where I can overrule something like that.
Right.
But the reason we're doing that extra bit of judging is to try to prevent situations like that. But, you know, if it doesn't, there's not much we can do, because, you know, it's the judge's call.
Right.
You know, we've got to be fair about that. And but I think for the most part, if something is radically, it's definitely going to change. The judges will adapt to it.
Al Agusti at his best. Let's dial him in even a little tighter as coming into the Olympia at the end of the year. How does he stack up against the likes of like Flex Lewis and Jose Raymond and Kevin English? Can he stand with these guys?
Good question.
I mean, no, it's hypothetical.
I think it might take him a year. I think he's going to need some time. Because like you say, he is somewhat, you know, obviously he's new at it. It's a pro debut. I don't think so, not yet, but I could be wrong. You know, not having seen him in, you know, with anything of that caliber next to him.
Right.
It's difficult to say, but I think he could be in the future, because he does have some nice lines there and his muscle is really nice.
Probably his legs, I would think, need to come up a little bit maybe to balance him.
I think so, because you're going to be, you're into a pretty good class there.
Now, this 2-0 class that's going to be happening starting next year, actually right after the Olympia, will probably be great for guys like you said, like the Doug Dales and the Al Agustis, who can grow into that class. Is that why you guys created it? Because, you know, originally the 202 started with as a 210. Then you guys dropped it back to 202 because you thought it was too high. What was the impetus behind then raising it up again?
I think just because we saw that these guys were really fighting to get down that low, and I think we made a mistake going too low with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the guys that were in that 210 to 212 range that could handle it. It was going to make it a more competitive class. So you adapt, and I'm glad people, you know, we looked at it and decided to, you know, add those 10 pounds on to make that decision, to make that class even more competitive than it is, because you're going to get more guys.
Yeah, you definitely will.
I'm sure
the smaller guys are not happy about it, because it means they have to, you know, it's going to take them an extra year or two to get to that point where they're going to be able to compete now.
Yeah, you're going to have that issue, but I think ultimately it's going to be a better class for sure. You're going to have much better competition.
Let's talk about the women's bodybuilding. I think it warrants us discussing, because they had 25 women here, and for, you know, all the talk and rumors, and you've heard it, I've heard it, that they're going to get rid of women's bodybuilding and that women's physique is going to replace it, which it might very well someday, you know, but it doesn't seem to be happening in the pro ranks here. You had a lot of women in this show. It was very competitive. I actually noticed that in the third call out that you guys had some girls with conditioning that normally you wouldn't see in a first call out. So was this a tough show to judge from the women's perspective?
Yeah, it was. You know, you had a lot of girls here that we hadn't seen before, and but we had a lot of girls who came in pretty good shape, you know, so it was kind of nice. It was a good mix of girls. But women's bodybuilding can be very difficult because of the size differences in these girls now. And it's a tough thing. It's a tough call sometimes, and it's a conditioning call as well a lot of times.
let's talk about this top three, because this was, I think most people thought that this was pretty much, I don't think this was debatable. Brigitte Brejcevic, who won the last week in Toronto, she won the show the previous year as well. She had to obviously be the favorite going in here, since she had beaten Kathy, and I don't think Tina was in that show, but she beat Kathy. Kathy was right. Fifth. What changed in your mind as a judge from Toronto to this week that pushed Brigitte down to third and pushed Kathy up to first?
I think in the prejudging round, Brigitte was just not sharp enough. She just didn't look like her conditioning was on. Whereas Kathy's conditioning looked much improved from Toronto. You can see she stepped it up. In the prejudging round, the judges looked at Tina Chandler actually as the winner of that particular round. She popped really well. She had nice symmetry. She was carrying herself very well. Kathy was second in that round, and Brigitte was third. Pretty much a 5-10-15 situation.
Unanimously. You had unanimously Tina in first.
Yeah, it was pretty much unanimously Tina in first. Maybe a couple judges went for Brigitte, but Tina got a 5 score on that, though.
Given the fact that she was unanimously first, going into the night show, there was a change. Now, I definitely noticed that Tina definitely softened up a lot, which kind of pushed her back and pushed Kathy into that number one seed, I guess you could say, at the night show. And it seemed as though, I think, what, Brigitte and Tina tied for in that second round?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
Brigitte ended up, that second round ended up being us looking at Brigitte and Kathy battling for first.
Yeah, actually, Brigitte tied with Kathy for first place in that second round. So that must have been very confusing then. So it came down to kind of what we talked about before. A mathematical equation decided who was going to win.
Yeah, exactly. It's all points. You just add them up, and whoever gets that low score is going to be your champ.
All right, now I put you on the spot. Now, you are a head judge, so you could make this call. It doesn't matter when you change the decision. If there was only one round and it was just the finals, obviously, between Kathy and Brigitte, if you would have been judging, who would you have gone with?
If it was the finals, in other words, it was nighttime.
Just nighttime, you have no prejudging. Just one round you're judging.
And they looked the way they did each time, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
They looked the same, I would have gone with Kathy.
Okay, that's reasonable. Yeah. And what just in your mind would have put Kathy above her?
Just a little bit more finish to her. A little bit more polish.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah. It just, 40 times up there is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was her 40th. I didn't even realize she had done so many. I didn't even know they had that many women's bodybuilding shows, but evidently they did.
She's the Milos of the women.
Yeah, she does do almost every show every year.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
You got to take your hat off to her. Probably the most, I got to throw this at them because, you guys have been talking about certain looks in women's bodybuilding. You're going for a more aesthetic look, a prettier look.
I know where you're going.
I know you know where I'm going. Fourth place, Rita Bello, probably had people comparing her muscle mass to mine when I competed, and her conditioning level to mine. I mean, she was kind of an anomaly for what you guys have been picking, yet she wound up in that top five group. What was the judging rationale behind her higher placing than you would normally
see? With a woman like that, I mean, she was just so packed and so dense. It was tough to deny that, in terms of the muscle. And you had to bring her out somewhere in that first group to be looked at. But when it came down to that look, that taper and that finished look and everything else, she just was overly muscled.
Right, and she had dream tan on, which was probably not helping her cause either.
Yeah, that hurts a lot. That particular color base does not look good. So, yeah, you're right.
Now, be honest with me. I'm going to ask you, no one's going to say, I'm in agreement. I like muscle too, but you guys on that judging panel, it was mostly men on there. They were all former competitive bodybuilders. Do you think that played into the fact that you guys wanted to kind of see her up there?
Yeah, probably, because she, when you see something, you see a woman that's that big.
You got to respect that muscle.
Yeah, we respected it. We wanted to give her due and place her with, have her at least looked at with those girls. could she hang with them? But we found she couldn't really hang with the top three.
Right.
You know, she settled in a position on her, you know, that we felt she deserved.
Mm.
You know, she's good. I can't deny that, but it's just that look sometimes. She stretches that body up a little bit, you know, Dave, and gives her a little bit more.
She's, you know, it's freaky to look at. And we'll, if anyone wants to see what we're talking about, you can go check out her pictures. But I also have a little video I did with her. Check out some of the posing footage. I mean, she is really freaky. I mean, the muscle separation is incredible on her body.
Oh, yeah. She's incredible, all right.
Now, Monique Jones finishes in fifth place. I think, arguably, structurally, she's maybe the most superior person on the stage. Were you impressed with her look? And what does she need to do to move up the ranks?
Well, she needs to work on her conditioning, for sure. She needs to also work on her posing.
Mm.
Some of the shots she was shooting were just not coming out. She was shooting a back shot, back double by shot, that was just all crunched up and not
disappointing. Wasn't opening her back.
Yeah, wasn't opening it up. And I don't know who was advising her on these things, but she really needs to work on that. To have that gifted a body and not know how to show it is, you know, a shame.
I'll tell you something that you might not even know. As a judge, she lost 30 pounds the last 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I think she got too heavy in the off season, is what it was.
And that'll just soften you all over the place. Right. Yeah.
And you know how much, when you have to lose 30 pounds in 6 weeks, you know how your impetus to want to practice posing is probably zero. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So I always tell people also, you cannot get that overweight in the off season. It's damaging, you know.
That's a disaster. Yeah, I agree.
Real quick, bikini. Diana Graham wins the her class at the last week at the Junior Nationals. Gets her pro card. Comes back here, arguably better than she was. Wins her first pro show. What was the difference between Junior Nationals and this show in your mind?
Well, I don't know because I was not at the Junior Nationals.
Okay.
In terms of analyzing, I've never seen that girl before. So she was a one-point winner, and I think it was a one-point decision, yeah, between her and the girl from France.
Yes, who I thought was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. And the judges thought that as well. So it was pretty much straight up on those two.
As a bodybuilder yourself, and a bodybuilding judge for innumerable years, do you find this very hard to judge bikini? Because the women are all beautiful, you know, and there's such a small nuanced distinction between, you know, these girls. What do you go for? Is it just like overall gut feeling?
I'm still trying to come to grips with it, to be honest with you. It's very difficult because I can't handle the movement. I can't handle some of the displays up there. It's trashy looking sometimes. And I'm trying to get, anytime I do a head judging at an event, I make sure that they know that they just have to, you know, do the poses I need to have done and stop. Stop with the theatrics, the head twists, the lips, the tongues, and everything else.
You did make an announcement.
I just can't handle that. You know, I refuse to. And it's just not for our sport. I don't like that. So whoever's advising these girls, if they see me on a panel as a head judge, you better be careful. I don't like it.
That's important, though. But you know what? I think you're right. It does distract from the physique a little bit.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't allow us to actually look to see. You know, I was talking to a few of the guys, you know, Dan Solomon, Bob Ciccarillo, and I was saying, if you really want to decide if a girl is going to be a bikini competitor or a figure competitor, If you're judging bikini, then let's have them stand there and let's have them stand there straight on, and we'll know automatically.
Right. Okay. And what do you look for as a head judge in bikini? What's the most important factors that come to your mind as soon as you evaluate a physique?
You know, I haven't come to grips with it yet. I don't know. I mean, it's still so obscure.
It seems like you guys are going for a more conditioned look, which is good because it's more of a hard body look than I think initially was selected.
I think everybody has their own, you know, own way of looking at things, to be honest with you. So I don't know.
The funny thing is, you know, you're telling me you're not really sure what the criteria is, yet it came out very well. I think no one complained about the placings. I think I agree with everything that was selected up there.
Yeah, it's hard, but I think it's going to have to evolve, you know. And it's going to have to tame itself too, because it can't be a sideshow, it can't be a strip show,
right?
Because if it is, then it doesn't belong.
It seems like some of the girls look more natural when they're doing some of their cutesy stuff, whereas some of them, it's almost like
it's contrived.
It's contrived, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's no good either.
No.
But I think, to be honest, we have to set standards. We just have to make sure that they abide by them.
Right. No, I think I agree with you. I think that it'll even out the playing field, because what happens is, I think these girls are getting more and more sensationalistic up there because of that.
Right. Right, and that's no good.
No, it's not.
You know, I'll call it that way, believe me.
You said it. I never heard, you made an announcement, do not move around too much up there, just stand there. And they listened, I guess, after a while.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, I always appreciate your opinion. Obviously, you're not on your mind, and I think this clarified a lot of the confusion that some of the people were feeling towards some of the placings. We saw how close the scorecards were on a number of these classes, especially in the women bodybuilding and the 202. And we're looking forward to more of your opinions in the future. What will be the next show that you're going to be head judging?
I'll be at the Team U.
All right, yeah, that's coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah. In 2 weeks, yeah.
And that will be giving some pro cards away from there. Just, I want to get your opinion on one thing before I let you go. Women's physique, you've judged it. Do you like it?
Yeah, I think it's going to work. Yeah, as long as we hold it to a criteria that doesn't allow it to go too far beyond those boundaries again.
Mm. I liked the boundaries you set at the Junior Nationals. You went for a slightly more muscular look with a little bit more conditioning, I think, than you did at the Junior USA. And I thought that worked well, and I think people responded favorably to that.
Well, I didn't get to see the Junior Nationals.
No, I know you didn't.
I was in Toronto, but I'm sure I'll see it at the Team U. So, well, I'm sure we'll be having our discussion on the panel between Sandy and myself. And
right.
The rest of our judges as to where we're taking this. So, but you know, it's going to evolve. We'll let it evolve.
Is it still evolving? Do you guys have like discussions before each show and decide like, well, this is what we're looking for, and we're going to try to stick to this type of criteria?
Not really before the show, but you know, as things are progressing within the show itself, sometimes you know you have that frank discussion. Is that too much? Is it not enough? You know, that type of thing.
Men's physique. I know you don't have a handle on that one.
Actually, you know, it's funny you should say that, because I kind of like it. I thought I was just going to just say, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. But I kind of like it. It's very interesting. These guys are pretty cool. They look good, you know, for the most part. I think it's pretty neat. It's something that, I think I can tolerate, believe it or not.
Do you think they'll implement any mandatory poses possibly in the future?
I would be against that. I don't think
you really would.
Yeah, because I think the only posing I would do would be what they're doing now on a 3-point basis, to one side, the other side, and to the back.
All right. That's
And the reason I would be against any kind of posing is because it'll just start to evolve into bodybuilding again.
Right.
You know, and then we'll start talking about lowering the shorts, making them skimpier, and you know, they're not gonna, I know what'll happen.
All right,
well, you want guys that are, you know, these are model type guys. These are Abercrombie guys.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're looking for, you know.
What's too big?
What's too big? It's going to be that almost too round look on a guy, you know, where you're that too full look.
So if you look at him and say, this guy could do bodybuilding too, then he's probably too big.
Right. Well, I think a lot of times you're drawn right to the calves.
Right, right.
When you see these guys, they're coming out there with bowling balls in their calves. Forget about it. You know?
All right, well, we're going to see exactly how this stuff evolves at the Team Universe in 2 weeks. Will you be head judging, or are you?
Okay. Yep. All right. I'll be there. Sandy and I will be splitting the duties on that one. So.
All right, Jim. And you owe me a drink, so we'll have to stop at the bar.
Yeah, we're going to definitely take care of that.
Thanks, Jim. One and only Jim Raquel calling in with his opinions, and we'll see him at New York at the Team U. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. You have a nice day.
Well, it was once again a great show. Jim Raquel, head judge, gives us his opinion and a critique of the Tampa Pro. And as you can see, new champion was crowned. Marius Donne will follow Ben White, who won his first pro show last year. We got a lot more action coming up in the coming weeks. We'll have the July 4th weekend off, and then it'll be Team Universe, followed by Masters Nationals USA in Hartford, Dexter Jackson, the Europa Super Show, North Americans. It just doesn't stop here at RX Muscle. For now, though, we are out of time. I'd like to thank Jim Raquel for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.